there was a lot of guessing. There was a lot of research. There was a lot of, you know, making a plan 1 week just to tear it up, to make a new improved plan the next week, to sometimes then again tear it up again and start fresh again. So there was a lot of that starting all the way back last March with the initial shutdown. So we knew immediately that we needed to shift and pivot like the world did. So we immediately went to all virtual offerings and we ceased productions because we simply could not manage, you know, the safety of the public and our patrons. And also how do we manage the safety of our artists and our creative teams? So the cease of production was, I say it's the gift, the one gift that COVID gave everyone was the gift of time, that we could look internally and see how are we running operations? Are there things that we can do that can be slicker and smarter and safer? So that was one thing that we gleaned. And through that time and looking at all of this, we knew that strategically we had to build this 2021 season to truly follow what the world is rolling out. So if you look at even what we did in January, February, March, that was a slow rollout. And if you look back, we typically will announce our season in September for the following year. This year we had to push it and we didn't even announce our season until December. So we were already like on a truncated time frame. But when we looked at how we were going to strategically plan this season, we started out with 100% virtual. We then roll into a hybrid model with some classes. We're now in the outdoor version of the plan where we're doing midsummer outside. We'll continue with that outside model with Tomas and the library lady. That's our summer tour that we'll tour around the Roanoke Valley. We typically do libraries and all types of venues, but this year we're keeping ourselves strictly to outdoor venues only for Tomas and the library lady. So it's not until summer that we're really going to stretch our muscles on inviting our patrons back into our home. So the first one out of the gate will be a smaller production. This would typically fall on the Waldron stage and be a part of our Fringe series, but it's called The Elephant in the Room. It's a one-woman show. So again, that was purposely chosen because of it's more manageable. It's not a huge giant cast. And there's only two performances. So we'll stretch our legs there. But then the big one that we're all gearing up for, even as early as now, will be Million Dollar Quartet. And that will be on the Trinkle main stage with, you know, it's a smaller musical, but again, it's a very large show. There's seven people in it, but a manageable size. But that will be the first time we offer, you know, the doors back open to our house of patrons. Still working on a limited house fill, of course.
Yeah, and I also saw Legally Blonde was a pretty new announcement as for the fall, right?
It was. We just announced that about 3 weeks ago, and that was a process and a journey all in itself. That was kind of the missing link in our season announcement this past December. We were in negotiating with some rights and royalty houses for a couple of titles that went through the process that we thought were home runs. These are going to be great for Roanoke and great for Mill Mountain Theater. And we found out that both of those titles, they're coming out with a tour, and Roanoke is a stop. So we had to go back to the drawing board, not once, not twice, but the third time. And as they say, the third time's a charm. And we came up with Legally Blonde, announced that about 3 weeks ago. And it has had the most buzz we've had in a long time. So we're very excited to have that one come to Roanoke, too.
Well, it's also more of a decision to get back to like more tradition. I mean, I know it's a newer show, but I mean, a larger cast musical.
You're correct. But we are still playing it very, very safe as far as what we can manage. We are going to do Legally Blonde with a cast of 12, which means all except for the lead character, Elle Woods, they will either double and or triple their roles. So for an ensemble member in this show, it's going to be a blast. And I think for the audience, it's going to be a lot of fun to see, you know, who comes, makes their entrance and they're another person. So we will approach it like that. And again, that was a strategic move to keep the numbers manageable and to keep everyone as safe as possible.
Well, that circles back to something that's going on with Midsummer Night's Dream, a show I guess this is probably done in the past with, if you have fewer actors to choose from, but some people are doubling up parts in that.
Correct. We've got a cast of 12 for Midsummer, and you're right. It's a lot of fun. And as a performer, I love the opportunity to put on several different hats in one production. It's a lot of fun. And I think that's a skill that we're giving our young artist that opportunity, because, typically we would have a much larger cast, say of probably 24, and everybody would be responsible for their one role. But I think there's an important skill set there to learn. And this cast of Midsummer is getting that opportunity.
Aside from what you get from the state or maybe CDC, were there other performing arts groups that help you determine stage capacity or audience capacity filled, other things that gave you input as far as how you're going to do this?
There is. Of course, we're following the CDC guidelines and what the state mandates. Truly, we follow it daily to see if there's any updates and if we need to adjust our plan daily. But the other big component in all of this decision-making process, Mill Mountain Theater is a professional regional equity house, which means we have a relationship with the Actors Equity Association out of New York City, which is the actors and stage managers union for professional artists. So we have been in constant communication with them and following their guidelines, which is another layer of hoops to jump through to prepare, whether that's backstage, actor housing, how we conduct rehearsals, and of course, ultimately leading up to that performance. So that's that third layer that, other arts or performing arts organizations, in our area or really nationwide may not have that third layer, but Mill Mountain Theater is working with the Actors Union to make that possible.
And I'm wondering, with the podcast and maybe not so much the podcast, but virtual classes, things like that, what kind of financial position you're in to start having somewhat of a regular season?
Well, we've got. I will say that I'm proud that Mill Mountain is in a position that we have weathered this storm of COVID. It doesn't give us a pass that all things are, if anything were to shut down again, I think we would have to reevaluate our plan really stringently. But we are in a good position. And I've said it before, if you go back to, the 2009 and the journey and path that Mill Mountain Theater that we pulled out of the financial troubles at that time, that we recovered so well and have done beautifully the past, almost 8 years of running in the black. We are still there. But I will say this round is different, because that first round, it was our fault. It was our management that got us in that position, where this time everyone is looking for, assistance or help. So it's not that you can look to someone and say, hey, we really need some help here. Everybody's in the same boat. It's the education program that has kept the doors open and kept us alive and healthy through this pandemic, because we could continue with all of our educational offerings, whether those were completely virtual or a hybrid model of, some virtual offerings and some in person, with distance and followed all the safety guidelines. That's kept us going. So just like Midsummer Night's Dream, it's appropriate that that's the first show to open up our season.
I'm wondering too, some people say businesses have learned ways to do more Zoom meetings or whatever, the positives that have come out of our past year.
Well, it's an excellent point. I think during this past year, we have realized that our reach is broader than it ever could be. When we looked at some of our classes, our master classes, our podcast that was a new offering that was born out of this COVID time, we are touching nationally. I think for one of our camps and classes, we were touching, about 14 different states. We have 4 different countries that follow our podcast, our listeners in 4 different countries that follow our podcast. So that's something we never could have done if it was just business as usual. So I think with all of the technology and where our world has shifted, we've realized that I don't think all of that's going to go away. I think that we will hang on to some type of virtual offering for a while for our education classes. I mean, the podcast, that's an easy one. It's meant for listeners. So we'll continue with that. But I think even looking internally, as far as how we operate as, administratively, our days and weeks are more productive, in the sense that I feel that we there's a breath that we can take, because we've really embraced that flex schedule and have learned to trust that it does work.